Doesn't say record.
You're right.
All right, we're recording already. Good morning. Wait a minute. I have to say good morning here. Okay. Good morning. Now, the source sheets that you received this morning are quite extensive. Don't assume that we're going to finish it today, because I don't assume we're going to finish it today. We're going to be discussing something that I think is of extreme contemporary significance, and it's related to Parashat HaShavua, which is Bamidbar. It is related to Shavuos, that's just 2 weeks away. It's related to a lot of things, and it's also related to a contemporary view of Jewish society in Eretz Yisrael. How do you like that? Okay, this makes it very exciting and very important, but we're going to have to do a little work in order to truly understand what's happening over here. It's all going to begin, the first sheet, I didn't put numbers. I put numbers on the second sheet, and it was after I had already run off the first one, but it's not important. The first sheet, I'm going to go in order. The first big one over there is really that which everything is based on, and everything that follows is going to follow from that piece. The fact is that some of you may even recall there was a part of this piece that I used in a shiur some while ago. It happens to be from a letter that was written by Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk to one of the Gedolim of his time, who was locked in intellectual combat with him. It was the Ritvaz. The Ritvaz had been for a while a Rav in Chicago, Zulevsky. I'm not sure I remember the name exactly, but he was opposed, of course, to the Heter Mechira in Shemitah. We're not going to talk about that yet. There'll be enough time to fight about it for a whole year. That's one of the, every seven years. But he was also opposed. He was opposed to the fact that Rav Kook was, we could say, friendly with the non-religious people and leadership in Eretz Yisrael. They were then called the Chofshiim. Today they are called the Chilonim. And after we have finished with Rav Kook, we will not be able to call them Chofshiim nor Chilonim. I think we're just going to have to call them Jews, good Jews. How do you like that? Good Jews. Its very contemporary significance is, we a shiur without the Jerusalem Post. It's just not a shiur, So here it is. I read this article today in the Jerusalem Post about our very religious members of Knesset who are upset with the euphoria over Maccabi Tel Aviv. I don't know, what do they play? They play soccer or basketball? You see how much I know. And that they're and they won some kind of a cup. What did they win?
World champion.
Hey, I'm getting excited already. The European Championship, and of course there's been great joy, they tell me.
And they were the underdog.
They were the what?
Underdog.
They were the underdog. Well, that's very Jewish, you understand. In the last 66 years, we've been the underdog, who, thank God, has been coming out on top. So our religious members of Knesset were upset with the euphoria. First of all, half of the players are not Jewish. They part of here, they part of there. They were mispilt with a ball, okay. That classic, they're the killjoys, the party pickers, and they came across in style. There were two people who made comments that it's very difficult for me to say that I was partially pleased with a comment by Ari Berry. He's not one of my favorite people. All right. He said, you know, why do you run from them? Thank God the game didn't take place on Shabbos. What are you talking about? You know, you got to look at the positive side of things. And then, of course, our own homegrown MK Dov Lipman said that, you know, he likes to see Jews happy. And he liked to see pictures of the Israeli flag in Europe over there flying all over the place. Not bad. I can identify with that. And especially when he quoted Rav Pinchas Scheinberg, Olav Shalom, who said that in his youth, when the Yankees won, you know, had a good feeling. You see, okay, I had a lot of friends who became Rashi Yeshiva and Gedolei Yisrael, and they were into sports. I never knew a thing. I was so immersed in Torah, I had no time. Now, maybe if I would have been a Yankee fan, I could have become a big Rashi Yeshiva. But I wasn't a Yankee fan. I wasn't a fan of anything. I didn't know anything. You see how much I know about Maccabi Torah. Anyway, the important thing is, you know, can't be a party pooper. I'm also, you know, when I see Jews happy, I feel very good about it. We had enough tzuras throughout history. It's good to see Jews, you understand? You know, I come into to the food court in Malcha, and I see Jews, you know, enjoying themselves. Listen, it's good. That's what the Croatian wants to see, too. So, and then, of course, I have my own personal things. I didn't hear them complain about the euphoria that broke out with Oslo. I didn't hear a word against the disengagement from Gush Katif. So, Habibi, watch yourself. Sometimes it's better shashtil. Okay. It'll be related to the Shia. You know, I didn't tell you if you Muslim post on that, unless it's related to the Shia. So here it is. This is a letter, part of a letter. It's a very long letter. And part of this letter that was written by Rabbi Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk to the Ritvaz, it had to be sometime around 1909, 1910. The Ritvaz already had passed away in 1914. So we're talking about 101 years ago, Rav Kook wrote the following. And he explains to him why it is that he has a warm relationship with the Chofshim Chilonim, you understand? Why does he have? And he establishes an extremely important principle. There are those who will disagree with this principle. But can't help it, you know, if I spoke about the Jerusalem Post, I can't go without mentioning Mishpacha. About 2-3 months ago, there was an article by Jonathan Rosenblum. I mean, you know, he's one of my good friends in Harnov. I have a lot of good friends in Harnov. Now, he's a nice guy, he's very nice, he's an intelligent fellow. So he wrote an article in which he discussed he compared the Kiruv activities of the Haredi world and the Kiruv activities of the Dati Lumi world. And he said, like there's no comparison, the Haredim got it all over Dati Lumi. The kings of Kiruv in the world are the Haredim. Oh, okay. And I debate that, but my first thought was, 100 years ago, they were attacking Rav Kook because he was Mekachav Yidden. Mm-hmm. 100 years later, they don't even notice that the same people who attacked him viciously and bitterly for being Mekachav, non-religious Jews, are the ones who are now patting themselves on the back about what a great job they are doing being the Caliph. They forgot all about it. They forgot all about the fact that they made his life miserable. Rav Kook was such a, he saw so much into the future. They're doing today exactly what he was doing 100 years ago, for which they attacked him bitterly. But then, on the general issue, I don't know, I think there's a big difference between the kiruv that is done by the Haredi world, and I don't mean in any way whatsoever to diminish or denigrate. They're doing a great, great job. It's wonderful. But the Dafti Lumi world is also doing it, but I think in a slightly different way. The way in which the Dafti Lumi world is doing it is by what they call the Gar'inim, the nucleuses of 10 families move into a community, and they settle down there, and they begin to become involved with the community. You can go through the country, Akko, Eilat, Lod, Ramla, Freilich. Now, I don't know which may be longer lasting. The Haredi kiruv, where, you know, somebody makes his way out of Bnei Brak, says a series of shiurim, great, but he makes his way back to the safety and comfort of Bnei Brak. Well, those who are ready to go out there and live with him, that's a different story. It's all right, somebody has to, will have to wait, and most probably each one of them will have great accomplishments, but don't knock the other guy. Don't knock the other guy. That's all. Like, you're doing your job in your way, they're doing their job their way. Leave well enough alone. Okay. Now, it all flows from this letter. This letter. And, you know, it's worthwhile. Don't get yourself all scared about such a big piece. Maybe I'll skip a little bit, but not too much. Yeda hadad gono. You should know, great Gaon, great Talmud Chacham, sheshnei dvorim ikorim yeshlam, shehem yachad bonim kedushat Yisrael v'tkashrut Elokit. There are two factors together that build the sanctity of the Jewish people and their bond with God. Two. What are the two? Number one, ha'echad husegula. The first aspect of the Jewish people that makes them a holy people is skula. They're a treasure. They are chosen. Kloma. Listen very carefully to these words. Teva hakedusha shebinishmat Yisrael mirushat avot. Those six words. There is a natural sanctity in the Jewish neshama that comes as an inheritance from their fathers. By virtue of the fact that we are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, there is an innate, inborn, natural sanctity to the Jewish people. Ka'omor, as it says in Torah, lo bitzit kotcha, it's not because you're so righteous and you're so good, because I chose you because of your fathers. Rak ba'avotecha. The pasuk goes on to say, it was your father's Choshak Hashem, God desired la'avotam, to love them, v'yivchar b'zaram achareim, and he chose their children afterwards. You hear what the pasuk says? God fell in love with the avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore he chose their seed after them. And it says, v'yitam li segula mikol ha'alim, you shall be unto me a treasure from all the nations of the world. You're special, you're different. This it says before Matan Torah, before Torah is given. In Parashat Yitro, we're coming to Shavuos. V'asgula hu koach kadosh pnimi. Skula, the treasure, is the power of an inner sanctity, munach v'teva ha-nefesh, that is there in the nature of one's soul, and it's there but it's so Hashem because it's God's will. Just like everything in that exists in the world has its unique nature. Now the next five words, very cloud. It can never change. Unchangeable, immutable. Sanctity in the Jewish soul. It has at this point, we're not talking about whether one fulfills mitzvahs or doesn't fulfill mitzvahs, whether he studies Torah, he doesn't study Torah. There's a natural, innate, inborn, and for that matter, ingrained by God himself, because he chose the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Ki hu amar vayehi. God said it, that should be the nature of the Jewish people, and so it is. Vayamidem la'ad la'olam. And that natural sanctity that possesses the Jewish people is eternal. That's part one. There is a sanctity that exists in the Jewish people that is there by its very nature, because God wants it to be there. The habet, the second pillar upon which the holiness of the Jewish people stands, is inyan bechira, choice. How do I live my life? Do I perform Torah? Now he says, very, very important what he's going to say. That second pillar of sanctity depends completely on good deeds and the study of Torah. Now, the next, I should have had that on the line, the next part is, it should blow your mind away. Hachelek shel hasegula hu harbei be'ein aroch klal yoter gadol v'kadosh me'achelek hatalui be'bechira. He says there are two pillars. One is the natural inborn sanctity of the Jewish people, and the other, that which comes via the fulfillment of mitzvahs and the study of Torah. Which one is stronger? Which one is more powerful? Which one is more valuable? Which one is more precious? So he's going to give the answer that you would never have given. He says the first, the innate, inborn, is far, far more powerful and more valuable than the second. Hey, this is very fascinating stuff. Yoter, it says, Hachelet shel hasegula, that part, which is because we are God's treasure, is harbei, great dilor, be'ein aroch klal. You can't even imagine its value. Yoter gadol v'kadosh, greater and more holy than the chelet, the part that depends on man's choice. Ela shebrit krutahi, shasgula pnimit lo tidgale bezman hazeh ki'im lefi otah hamidah shabechira v'sayed et giluyah. I'll explain. He says the only thing is that the inner, innate sanctity can only be seen above the surface by virtue of the study of Torah and the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Well, wait, just hanging over there. Okay. Therefore, hakol talu rov hamas, everything depends on the many deeds. Ukedushat ha'emuna, the sanctity of belief in God, the Talmud Torah, and the study of Torah. Hashem Yisbarach, hanoheg b'chazdo b'chol dor, the Holy One, blessed be He, the One who acts with great kindness in every generation. Misader hu et sidrei ha'neshamot ha'tzlikot la'afiyah ba'olam, He's the One who arranges those souls that are supposed to appear in the world. And you know, sometimes it's different souls come down. Sometimes, lefamim, korach ha-bechira mitgaber v'korach ha-skula omeid v'matzah ha-alem v'enonika. Sometimes, it's the power of the second pillar, those who study Torah fulfill mitzvahs, is stronger than the innate kedusha. Lefamim, and there are times, that korach ha-skula mitgaber, the power of this innate Kedusha. The Jew who doesn't study Torah, doesn't fulfill mitzvahs, he just has that innate, inborn, God-given sanctity. There are times that that rises and becomes stronger. Following Korach HaSegula mitgaber, the Korach HaBechira umeh b'matzah ha'nelam, v'chol ikara shel brit avot, shenenu posek, afilu kishetoma kvar zchut avot. Nora says that the zchut avot, the merit of our fathers, that ended early. We used it all up. We don't have any more credit as far as zchut avot is concerned. We most probably nachnu ba'oved reft. But there's something in addition to zchut avot, the zchut of our fathers, there's brit avot. Brit avot is the covenant that God made with the others. That never ends. A brit is a covenant, a treaty between God and the others. And this happens to be a Tosis in Masechta Shabbos, all right. And brit avot is mikach, b'mikach, b'mitzad korach haskula. It comes because we're this unique treasure. The next few words. There, I was right that I underlined it. Ube'ikva de Meshicha mitgaber biyoter korach haskula. When you can hear the footsteps of Mashiach, the power of that innate Kedusha rises. And you know, that means you may not have that many Jews who are studying Torah and doing mitzvahs, but there is this innate sanctity that comes rising to the fore. Shehu tochein. Now you'll never forget this anymore. He says that's exactly what our rabbis wrote in Shemona Esrei. Zocher chazdei avot mevi goel livnei v'nehem l'man shemo bi'ahava. We say it three times a day in Shemona Esrei. But from now on and further, we're going to have to say it and understand it. God remembers the kindness of the fathers, and he brings redemption to the Enochluch, the man Shemo, for his name's sake, ba'ahava, with great love. Doesn't say anything here about these children being great Talmidei Chachamim or being Mekayim Mitzvahs, you understand? They may even be be people who are euphoric over Maccabi Tel Aviv's victory over there. By the way, you know, I also have another thought about that Maccabi Tel Aviv. What does it to do with this? How many of those Maccabi Tel Aviv fans that were going crazy, how many of them had been out on the field in battle and risked their lives for Klal Yisrael? Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that for one single moment. Okay. I didn't get all my licks in yet. You'll see. Zocher chazdei avot umevi goel evin elman. Kloma. He brings redemption, lo mitzad ha-bechira, not because Jews have chosen to study Torah and fulfill commandments. Bechira is bo mitzad ha-masim ha-tovim shebabonim u-mitzad ha-tshuva. Bechira means that they're doing good deeds and they're doing tshuva, but that's not why he will bring redemption. Redemption is l'man shemo, for his name's sake. What is it that brings great concern to the fore? He remembers the kindness of the others. That's the brit, the covenant with the others. Omnam lefamim. Lefamim itgaber choshek kazeh shemafsik et hofaat hasgula gamken. Avel ze yeshar ki im bimi shebo l'midazu liyot chas v'shom sonei Yisrael. He does make, there is one exception to the rule. It is possible for a Jew to lose that innate sanctity. if he becomes himself a Sonei Yisrael, a hater of the Jewish people, and he does and says things that bring harm to the Jewish people, then he has simply emptied himself of all of that innate, inborn sanctity that would otherwise have been part of his essence. Everybody can reach a point where they've passed the divine red line. Once you've passed that, you're out of it. You're out of it. Watch. I will say, Ki im, b'misha pol midosu, the person who arrives at this measure, liot chas v'shalom, God forbid he sonei et Yisrael, v'doresh ro lehem b'poel v'tzipiyat alei. In fact, he hurts the Jewish people, and he looks forward to it. And unfortunately, We have such people. The Rambam talks about the minim in this, because the Rambam there is talking about the fact that there was a 19th bracha added to Shmone Asrei. That 19th bracha is the bracha that seems to be exuding such venom and even hate. destroy utterly and completely the evil. destroys the enemies, and he subdues the evil. Because he said, our rabbis had to add that bracha because a period in Jewish history appeared on the scene where we had people who became Jews, who became destroyers of Israel, and the most significant segment were the early Christians. This was the early Christians, and the fact is that when it was originally written, there are some Siddurim, yet old Siddurim, that have v'lanotzvim al dehitikva, v'lanotzvim. The Christians, and then it was changed to V'lam al Shinim, those who speak ill of the Jewish people. Then he says, Shavuot Mitzirim, the Rambam is talking about those who oppress Jews, who oppress the Jewish people. What did they say? They say Torquemada was Jewish, the head of the Inquisition. Who knows how many Jews he burned at the stake. He says, even that bracha that became so necessary was so difficult for Chachmei Yisrael to compose it and then yet put it into the Shmoneh Esrei. And by the way, I always say the reason why the name remained Shmoneh Esrei and not Tisha Esrei, it's really not the 18 blessings, it's the 19 blessings, because they wanted that sort of concealed and forgotten. They didn't want anybody to know that unfortunately they had to introduce into the Shmoneh Esrei a bracha of that sort. The Rambam, Rav Kook goes on to say, Alkein Hichris Rabban Gamliel, the Gemara says that Rabban Gamliel made an announcement, who is it that can compose this bracha? Gemara says a fellow by the name of Shmuel HaKatan. And he explains, and others as well, in Pirkei Avos there's a Mishnah, Shmuel HaKatan used to say, B'nefol oyivcha al tismach, don't be happy when your enemy falls, u'bekoshlo, and when he stumbles, al togel libcha yahar shenachem full of joy. Shmuel HaKatan's whole essence was somebody in whom there wasn't an iota of hatred. He was the only one who was capable of writing this terrible bracha, but writing it with love, mercy, and compassion. It was unbelievable. Shmuel HaKatan did it. Then, let's just go to where it's underlined again so we can get to the next part. Mikorakum or Hasagula Meir Behem. By other Jews who have not reached that point, the light of their chosenness, their being God's treasure, lights them up. Our Kenhen Mekavim Meod as close Yisrael the Choshkim Beretz Yisrael. That's it. There is a kind of Jew, hasn't studied Torah, hasn't performed mitzvahs, may not know much about him, but his neshama wants to be part of the Jewish people. He loves the Jewish people. He desires Eretz Yisrael. Where does that come from? It is a kasha. Where does it come from that all these formerly called Chilonim and Choshim came here and gave their lives in order to build up this country? Where did it come from? So there will be those very well. They were socialists, they were communists, they were Bundists, they were Heen, they were Heen. No. Rav Kook says that comes from the innate sanctity that is inborn in the Jewish neshama. That's one side of the coin. There's a second side of the coin. And that's the next part, which says Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, of Shamshon Lefor Hirsch writes, it's all on the line. It's all on the line. And here you can see the two sides of the coin. And I believe that these two sides of the coin separate two communities here in Eretz Yisrael till today. Shamshon Lefor Hirsch writes, Mahuto shel Am Yisrael Hu, the essence of the Jewish people is Am Shenihel Am Rak Al Yedei U'Bishvil HaTorah, a people that became a nation through and because of Torah. Without it, they're not a nation. They're not a nation. Am Sheba'ava Hayu Lo Eretz Medina, a people who in the past had a land and a state, remember? He's writing this in the middle of the 19th century. Rak al yedei u'bishvil haTorah. They had Eretz Yisrael, and they had a state, and they had a government only because of Torah. Am shehechazik beretzu medinato, a people who held this country and had its state. Rak, it was all kemachshir letargemet haTorah lemetzivut chaya, to be able to translate Torah into a living organism. Everything comes for, is motivated, is created by Torah. Zot ha-siva, sh'niyeh Yisrael la'am, gam lefnei sh'hagalo eretz u'medina. That's why the Jewish people became a people even before they came into Eretz Yisrael. They were already the Jewish people before they came into Eretz Yisrael, before they had a Medina, before they had a Melech, before they had a Shofet. Because they had Torah. The Zot HaSibah Shenishar Yisraelam, and that's the reason why the Jewish people remain a people. Gam acharei she'artzo nechreva, even after the land was destroyed. U'mamado k'medina nechav, they lost their status of a people with a state. Mishum she'eino ma'abed et ha'morasha ha'yekidah hazot. You know why? Because he didn't lose. In all the years of the Golos, they didn't lose their real heritage and their inheritance, which is Torah. Habasis hayachid, the only basis, l'kiyumo l'mashmuto, only thing that keeps them existing and gives them meaning is Torah. Zoti tzuratam, that is the form and the shape of this people. She'al Yisrael, she'al kulam l'chiyot, that we in Israel all have to live by this basic principle. We are a people only by virtue of Torah. We came into being only because of Torah. All right. So here we have the battle lines. The battle lines are drawn. So you know what? I think we can turn this into a yeshivish chakir. I don't know how to translate that into English. Did Israel become a people because of Torah? Or because Israel was a people, they received Torah? Listen very carefully, I said it very well. did we become a people because of Torah? Or because we were already a people, Torah was given to us. Rav Kook and all of those who follow him say, Pesach Shuas. We became a goy gadol in Mitzrayim, a great people in Egypt, though we didn't have Torah. We became a great people before Torah. Torah came second. Rav Tzvi Yehuda used to say, the bracha that we say on the Torah, Asher Bach Abonu Mikol Ha'amim, God who chose us from all the nations, V'nosan Lonu Et Torah To. Which came first? First, Asher Bach Abonu Mikol Ha'amim, God is the one who chose us from all people on the face of this earth. And then, once we were this great people endowed with sanctity by God, then he has somebody to give Torah to. V'nosan Lonu Et Torah To. So it's not the pshat that we became a people through Torah. We were a people because God made us into a people and chose us as a people. But then, of course, for us to be able to achieve our ultimate potential, that can only come through Torah. Only through Torah. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi says it in one line in the Kuzari. I know. The Vilna Gaon told his students, you have to learn the Kuzari. Because if you want to know the truth of Emunah, what faith and what the Jewish people like, you must learn the Kuzari. Listen to a line. Were it not for the Jewish people, the Torah would not have been given. So just that one sentence is enough already. Were it not for the Jewish people, Torah would not have been given. Is that what Samson of Fulhurst said? No. According to Samson of Fulhurst, there would not have been a Jewish people without Torah. No. That's not what Rabbi Yudalevi says. You needed a Jewish people. You needed a people of sanctity. Once you have that great people, then God knows that he has somebody in whose care he can entrust Torah. Oh boy, is that a different way of looking at everything. The way Rav Kook looks at it, there are no chilonim out there. They all have a Yiddish neshama. They have innate, inborn sanctity. So they're not yet, sitting in Kailu. Wait, Mashiach will come. See, and he'll decide who should sit in Kailu and who shouldn't sit in Kailu, and they'll demonstrate against him. They'll say Mashiach's coming to destroy Torah. No, he will know exactly. He'll know exactly what to do. Let's read that. Again, were it not for the Jewish people, the Torah would not have been given. Furthermore, Israel's lofty status was not in Moses' merit, it was not because of Moshe. On the contrary, Moshe's status was in the merit of Israel. Because of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu became great. God's love could not emanate without a multitude of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob present to receive it. Did you hear a whole different view? No. And according to Samson von Hirsch, until we came to Sinai and received Torah, we were the Maram Prags Goylem. We were shtick flesh, we were basar, with nothing. We were nothings. We were nothing. Oh, we got Torah. No. That's not what you're going to leave it says. We were a great people, and therefore God could entrust Torah to us. We were a great people, and that, therefore that made Moshe what he became. What a different way of looking at things. God merely chose Moses as the vehicle to bring his goodness to the people. because there's a people, and God wants to bring his goodness to the people, he needed somebody to be the intermediary. And that intermediary was Moshe. We are therefore not called the nation of Moses, but rather the nation of God. Am Hashem, as it says, these are the people of God, and the people of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yitzhak. Right, guys, we're beginning to move ahead. You understand? We're moving ahead. The next piece is from a sefer called Asher Baruch Avonu Mikol HaAmim. I saw it a few weeks ago by one of my enikluch, and he saw that I became so excited about the sefer. Before I knew it, he had purchased a copy and gave it to me and didn't want to take any money from Sabra Shmada. All right. We'll find other ways to repay it. Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi Kotev B'Sefer HaKuzvi V'Lulei B'nei Yisroel Lo'aita HaTorah. That's the Hebrew in which he writes it. Without the Jewish people, it would not have been told. Kodim Kol Tzorech Am. What you need first is you need a people. There has to be an address where to give Torah, you know? If there's no Jewish people, then you know what? What was that song? Address Unknown with Elvis Presley? We can talk about Elvis Presley. They say he's Jewish. They say he's Jewish. No such person, no such sender. Address Unknown. Shalom Chafer, they'll see this video in America. This is the great Rabbi of Yerushalayim, Elvis Presley. All right. Okay. The Kuzri is saying there had to be an address for Torah to be given. And that address was a great people called Klal Yisrael. And here, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh writes, I think at the end of Parshat Bechukotai, Im Ein Yisroel Ein Torah. If there's no Yisroel, there's no Torah. V'im Ein Torah, and if there's no Torah, Ein Yisroel. But the first thing is you need Yisroel. And here, Nagel Si Shavuos, this is such a beautiful, the next sentence is so beautiful. Ruth does not forsake her mother-in-law Naomi. They are coming back from the fields of Moab. And her mother-in-law tells her, go back. Don't go with me. We're poor. We're poverty-stricken. It's not going to be good for you there. Go back home. So Orpah, her sister-in-law, goes back. But Ruth Dovkoba, Ruth, stays with Naomi. And the great, great sentence, Vatomer Ruth, and Ruth said, "Al tivgi fi lozvech. Don't pressure me to leave you. Lo shuv me'acharayich, to turn back from you. Ki al asher telchi eleich, where you go, I will go. Uvar asher tolini olin, and where you will sleep, I will sleep. Ameich ami ve'elokayich elokai. My people is your people, and your God is my God." She didn't say elokayich elokai before ameich ami. First she says, Ameich Ami, your people and my people. And the Mela, once I am part of your people, then Elokayach Elokai, your God will be my God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Ruth Mizdaheh Kodem in Am Yisrael. Ruth identifies first with the people. Ameich Ami, your people and God. This is one of the most noblest psukim in Tanakh. Al tivgi bi lozvech. Without goest, I shall go. Im ha'lu'umiyut ha'yisraeli. This is the word. With Jewish nationhood, she identifies first. Ameich ami. U'meila ha'chakach. And therefore afterwards, he mizdayim ha'torah mitzvahs. After that, she identifies with Torah and mitzvahs. The lokayach, elokai. Right. Huh? Right. Ah. You know, when I tell you that the shear is related to everything. I mean, it's related to everything, all right? We had Shavuos ready, we had Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach, Shavuos. What about Parashat HaShavua? The parasha is Bamidbar. The Haftorah is the second chapter of Hosea. Hosea is the first of what are called the 12 minor prophets. It doesn't mean, the minor is a very bad word. Minor leaves the impression like this is a big prophet, small one. It really means the ones who did not leave over that much in writing. I can't even use the right word, smaller prophets. The 12 great prophets. I don't know, something like that. Anyway, the beginning of Hosea, God tells Hosea, go marry a woman of ill repute. I mean, it's unbelievable. Go find a prostitute and marry her. And have children, whom God calls Yaldei Zinunim. Children from her. Maybe not even sure who the father is. So he has three children. One is called Lo Ami, the other is Lo Ruchama, and the other one is Yisrael. Three children that represent God's displeasure with the Jewish people. What's going on over here? Now, by the way, there is machlokas, of course, between the Rambam and others. According to the Rambam, many of these strange prophecies don't mean that he actually did it, but it all is taking place in his prophetic mind. But many of the Mefarshim disagree with Rambam and say, no. He went and he found a woman by the name of Gomer Bat Divlayim, and he married her, and they had three children. What's going on? What is going on? What a strange thing is this. God tells a Navi, go ahead and marry this woman of ill repute, plus tubs of God. So we're learning the Gemara in the Sept of Sachem. Right inside. Oh, Lord, Kodesh Baruch Hu Hosea. The Holy Lord, blessed be, he said to Hosea. God says to Hosea, Bonecha Chotu, your children of sin. You know how Hosea should have responded. You should have taken the Venezuela. B'nechahem, they're your children. B'nechanunechahem, they are the children of your favorite ones. They are the children of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. What are you telling me, my sons, my children sin? Your children sin. But they have gone here to be Yaakov, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Galgel rachamecha aleihem. Arouse your mercy over them. That's what Hosea should have answered. But you know what Hosea said? Listen, Elohim al fun of Hosea, the great Navi, said before God, the Ben Yishalelam, kol ha'olam shalcho. The whole universe is yours. Ha'avidem bo'om ha'acheret. Let's change them for a different nation. You don't like them. Get rid of them. Well, take it to somebody else. Sure, you can find, you can always get the Syrians, you understand. Libyan, Germans, you know, a lot of people, so go trade them in. Now, so, the provincial was the sponsor, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be, said, Ma Esel HaZokeh is there. What am I going to do with this old man? What kind of answer is that? He should have said to me, your children, have mercy on them. You know what? So the Rebbe tells us what his plan is. I will tell him, Lech v'kach isha zona v'holim lecha v'onin zanun, go and take a woman of harlotry as a wife, and cause her to bear you children of harlotry. V'achar kach omaylo. After a few years of a relationship with her, you know what I'm going to tell him? Shalchami al panecha, send her away. Im hu yachol ishlach, if he will be able to send her away, afani ashalachit Yisrael, I will send Israel away. All right, so the plan went in. This The preceding exchange is inferred from God's first recorded words of Shanana, because it says, the beginning of Hosea, Vayomer Hashem al Hosea, Lech kach ha'eshes and unim v'yaldeh and unim, go take for yourself a woman, v'yaldeh and children, uksiv, and it says, v'yelech, and he went, v'yikach, and go about the life. Then there's a whole other discussion in the middle, and then the Gemara comes back to the story of Hosea. The Gemara resumes its quotation of the scriptural narrative about Hosea's marriage to Gomer, the daughter of the life. V'atar v'teilev the ben, she conceived and bore him a son, v'yomer Hashem elav, and God told him, k'rosh shemo Yisrael, give him the name Yisrael, t'yod ma'at, u'fokadeti et demei Yisrael al beit Yehu. Soon I'm going to remember the blood of Yisrael on the house of Yehu. V'shbati malachut pei Yisrael, I'm going to destroy the kingdom of the house of Israel. She became pregnant again, she gave birth to a daughter. And God said to him, cross him out, call her Lo Ruchama, not pitied. Kilo Osif Odarachem, because I'm not going to have any more mercy on the Jewish people. We're now at the top of the right hand column. Kino Soraswahem, I'm not going to forgive them anymore. Then she had a third child. And the third child was a son, Vayomer Hashem Elohim, and God told him, Krosh Mo Lo Ami, call him Lo Ami. You are not my people. Ki Atem Lo Ami, V'Anochi Lo Yelechem, you're not my people, and I don't have anything to do with you. This is very rough stuff. Having quoted this narrative, the Gemara relates the exchange between God and Hosea that followed it. Ma'ach Hashem Noldu Lo Shnei Ponu Bat Achad, after Hosea had two sons and a daughter from Gomer Bas Lazayim, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hosea, Lo Hoyo Lecho Lilmod Mi Moshe Rabboch, should you not have learned from Moses your teacher, Shekimi Shekiparti Mo Pelash Mi Misha? When I started speaking to Moshe decided that he has to be always in a state of absolute sanctity, and he parted from his wife. Afato. You know what? Separate yourself from God without the violence. I'm alone. So Shea says to God, Yeshli Bonini Mena, I have children from her. And I can neither remove her nor divorce her. I can't. But what he's really saying is, you know, I've gotten to like her, you know? I've gotten to like her. Amalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Hosea, Umar ato you, Shish t'chazonu, your wife is a harlot. Ubanecho b'nei zenunim, and your children are children of harlotry. Vein ato yotei, and you don't really know him shalachor heinim shalachedim hein. You don't even know whether your children are yours or somebody else's. Kach Yisrael, Israel Shehem Bona. Jewish people are like children, B'nei Bechune, the children of those great Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that I tested. B'nei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Echad Me'arbor Kinyonim Shekonisi B'Olami, one of the four things that I have acquired in this world. You want me to trade them in for another people? Then Gemara interjects to list what are the four acquisitions, what does God own in this world. Torah Kinyan Echad. Torah is one. The Ksiv, Pasuk in Mishlei, Hashem Konani Yideshes Darko, at the very beginning of his way, God acquired Torah. Shavayim V'Oretz, heaven and earth, are Kinyan Echad. Another acquisition, the Ksiv. God is Konei Shavayim V'Oretz, the one who acquires heaven and earth. Beis Hamikdash, Kinyan Echad. The temple is another acquisition to Ksiv. Harzeh, Konso Yemina, that mountain that God's right hand acquired. And then the Ksiv Harzekia, and then Yisrael, Kinyan Echad. One of the four great acquisitions that God has in this world are the Jewish people. The Ksiv Amzu Kaniti. This is my people who are quite acquired. And now, the Gemara completes it by saying, Marato ha-marato ha-avirem v'umachedet, you told me I should trade them in for another people? Moshe, what happened to you? You want me to trade in the Jewish people? Kima shiyoda shechata, Moshe knew that he had sinned. Amar davakesh rachma alatmoy, he asked mercy for himself. Amar v'akadosh baruch hu, the Holy One, blessed be, said to him, Achatom v'akesh rachma alatmocha, v'akesh rachma alatmocha. Don't ask mercy for yourself. Ask mercy for the Jewish people. Shekosarti aleihem shosh yisaydus barfurcha, because of you, I decreed three decrees against them. Amar davakesh rachma, so the Hoshea asked for mercy. Batal hakseda, and God removed the evil decrees. V'hischil levarchon, and he began to bless them. Sheneemar, and this is this coming week's Haftarah. L'hoya mispar b'nei Yisrael k'chol hayam. The number of Jews will be like the sand at the seashore. V'hoya v'mekom, all the Haftarah. And instead of saying to them, Lo Ami, you are not my people, you know what we're going to say to them? You are my people. Then he says, V'nik b'tzu b'nei Yehuda b'nei Yisrael yachdo, you will be gathered together, the people of Yehuda and the people of Yisrael. Uzrati oli ba'aretz, I will plant you in the land. I will plant you in the land. V'nichamti et lo ruchama, and I have mercy on lo ruchama. That was... No, Yisrael was the name of one child. Lo Ruchama the second. Va'amarti lo ami. And to those who are considered not my people, I'm going to tell them, Ami Yata, you are my people. A beautiful, beautiful Gemara. This is the, this is Hoshea. What's the message that comes up over here? We're talking about a Jewish people at the time that the Navi Hoshea talks about their idolatry, the terrible things that they did. And the Rishon says, what do you want? They're my kindler. My kindler. What's more over here is the fact, and most probably, I think we'll get to discussing this as well, God doesn't want to hear people talk evil about Klal Yisrael. There are enough miserable anti-Semites in the world saying bad things. I don't need to hear it from Jews. I don't need Jews telling me, Shomer HaCharpa, they're all happy about Maccabi Tel Aviv. Get out of here, give me a break. Say something nice for a change. Say something nice. And if you can't think of saying something nice, blab still. Hello, come on, give me a break. It's difficult for me to say, but I stand on this one issue. I stand with Derry. Nothing else. Nothing else. Yes.
So,
Dr. Michelle McFall
Hirsch wrote, you see in the context of
what
he was writing.
You better stand up and you better make sure I hear you.
That were actively trying to get rid of Torah, actively trying to get rid of their Jewish identity, and so...
So you are attempting to explain Rav Shamson Lefort Hirsch sociologically. He was fighting a particular battle, but wait a minute, you know what you're saying. If so, you know what you're saying.
All through the years, was you could go to a shtetl and you knew that you would find kosher food, and you knew that you would find a common bond, you knew he had a place for Shabbos, you knew he had this.
Wait, you know what you're saying? You're saying now that the idea that he expressed over here is not real Torah idea. It was something that he made up just because of his struggle against the Reform movement. We're talking about what's real Torah. You see, that's the catch 22 over here. Is when he says that the Jewish people are not a people without Torah, and that the Jewish people became a people only when they received Torah. Is that an expression of real hashkafa on his part? It definitely is.
Yeah,
It definitely is.
Well, is he coming on? By Yuchan Yisrael, they got a heart. The only time that...
And you know when that was? That was before Torah was given. Vayichan, I was going
to
use that part.
They didn't get the Torah.
What?
They knew they came to Har Sinai. They knew they were going to get
But they didn't have the Torah yet. And it says, you know what? So now, you know what you're learning over here? There are two approaches.
And they do have Abraham Yitzchak.
There's the Cookian approach, and there's the Hershian approach. And what we're going to have to decide, and I'm not finished yet, you're going to have another whole week to think about it and rally all sorts of proofs, but we're going to take the Cookian approach and take it much, much further than we have at this point. But what I'm really saying is that informs the differences of opinion in the Jewish community today. I would say that one could even say that that's the difference between the Dati Lo'umi and the Haredi approach. I mean, it's very clear, very clear. The Dati Lo'umi approach is clearly Rav Kook. All right, the Jew's not Hashem the Torah mitzvahs, but he has sanctity. And if he has sanctity, then you have to know how to deal with it. You can't just call him all sorts of names. You can't go ahead and say, Rasha. What do you mean, Rasha? The man has a divine Neshama in him. That's a divine Jewish, divine Neshama. No, I'm going to have to save it. I have to... all right, we'll give her one more.
Thank you.
10 seconds. Come on, Batya.
But according to Rav Kook,
yeah?
He said that, at least according to whoever it was, it said that there is a way for a Jew to lose that thing. You had that other book that Rav Kook or someone else said there is a way for a Jew to lose that inherent thing. Rav Hirsch was finding after that type of person who wanted to disassociate them to the
So this is the gray.
Themselves completely. So he's according to Rav Kook.
That's the gray area. So they will say. If a guy's in Chal Shabbos, then he's... But that's not what Rav Kook said. That's not what Rav Kook said. Rav Kook said he has to be a Sonny Yisrael who actively does things to hurt the Jewish people. That's the only way you can disconnect and disassociate and disengage yourself from the Jewish people. But we got to give her... you have 10 seconds.
The Haredim also call the Dati Lo'umi Amalek. They also call us that way.
I'm going to erase the last part of this. Maybe we'll talk about that another. That was a very, very terribly unfortunate, very unfortunate story. It caused me a lot of, personally, a lot of pain, because the father of that young gentleman is a very good friend of mine. And, terrible pain, but there's a lot to be learned from that, and this year has just now come to an end. To be continued next week.